In April, comedian Rami Yusuf's sitcom Rami premiered on Hulu. The show is loosely based on his own life, and it follows the main character played by Rami as he tries to balance conflicting obligations to his family, religion, and friends. Most of the first season is set in the much maligned state of New Jersey, where Rami grew up. And he told me he disagrees with all the hate.
You know, I think it's very unwarranted. I think New Jersey is one of the greatest places. I think it's arguably the best state in the country. Part of it is its proximity to New York, but I like that it's not New York. And I like that there's, you know, where I grew up, it's really quiet. It's not too far from the noise. But you can kind of just be a person, be near some trees, see the foliage and whatnot.
This Saturday, Rami's busy 2019 continues with his first HBO stand-up special, Feelings, an hour-long set that finds him disregarding plenty of social norms.
I have really prejudiced thoughts. There are things I think that are wrong. Like, I get really upset every time I get a white Uber driver. Devastated. Like, I look down on my phone, I see the little white face, and I'm just like, I'm gonna be late.
The special also includes jokes about some of the famous men accused of sexual harassment and assault, like R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein. And when I sat down with Rami this week, I asked him how he finds humor in these very taboo topics.
Regardless of what the situation is, it's, you know, our job to try and find a way to laugh about something in it. And so for me, the key has always been, what is the most introspective thing for me within this situation? So if I make a joke about Harvey, if I make a joke about Jussie Smollett, it's not really about them. It's more about where I fit in within that narrative. And what is what they're going through, or what is what they're doing? How does that reflect to where I am? And so I try to connect everything in that way.
You mentioned Jussie Smollett, and you just start out with like a pretty intense punch, right? Right off the top right here with Jussie's story. And do you feel pressured to feel like, and I guess this isn't a thing, but to be a woke comedian and sort of be within the lines of what that means? Or is it okay to have that joke right off the top about the Jussie Smollett case?
Do you think the joke is unwoke?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But I could see people saying, oh my God, like, you know, this is a conspiracy about, you know, Chicago PD and all this other stuff.
Sure,
and
sure.
I don't know. I mean, would some people argue that it shouldn't have been?
No, of course. I mean, I think that that's always kind of the line with the show, with this. I mean, you kind of want that. You want something that most people will see, you know, what's really cool about why you're talking about it. But you need that contingency of people to be like, what? Why? No, that's not what I wanted. I mean, I think that anytime you're touching something that's real, you're going to get that reaction. But I do, again, like, it's not about coming from a place that is confrontational, or that is to be antagonistic, or that is to be sensational. It's that's not the intent. The intent is like, how do we use this thing to dissolve what's going on in our own lives, and how we, you know, where we're, and it sounds kind of like, it almost sounds like a little morally cheesy that I'm like, you know, this joke about rape can really teach us about, you know, who we are. But I mean, I think if you pull it off right, it should, but that's not the thing you lead with. I think you have to lead with it being funny, but I think you want it to be introspective. And I think that that's really important.
Talked a little bit about making jokes surrounding folks like R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein and Michael Jackson and sort of the Me Too movement. But more recently, someone who was directly involved in that, Louis C.K., has begun emerging back into the comedy scene and to, you know, in some instances, to standing ovations. Is cancel culture canceled in comedy when it comes to folks like Louis C.K.? Is there a shorter lifespan for that type of thinking? Or is it just the way the comedy scene is, you think?
I think it depends. I mean, I think that saying the comedy scene is like saying the Muslim community. It's like, well, what are you talking about? What kind of Muslims? Are you talking about Arab Muslims? Are you talking about Black Muslims? It's a broad thing. So I think there are various comedy communities. And so Louis is very accepted in some. He's not accepted in others. And I think that, you know, from a comedic point of view, doing, you know, there's this really crazy thing that happens when you're doing stand-up in New York. You'll be on stage sometimes and you're right on the street, essentially, in a lot of these clubs, and you hear crazy stuff. So sometimes you're on stage and there is a massive fight going on outside. Sometimes there is a siren going on that won't leave. And when you're on stage, you have to address it. You have to say, hey, I hear that thing outside, and now I'm going to get to my joke. My whole thing with Louis has always been just address the siren. You can't step on stage and act like
it never happened.
Because it's not even that like you owe us something. You just owe us recognition to say there's a siren, you know, and what was your part in it? And you don't have to say something specific. You just have to say something. And I find that to be the core of most people's frustration, which is how can I watch this guy when he's not acknowledging the thing that the rest of us hear? He's pretending like it's not. So there's this like sense of distrust, you know? And so, you know, that to me feels like what we're dealing with. And I personally, you know, I have a hard time watching someone who doesn't acknowledge the siren.
A few weeks ago, we had a professor of Asian American comedy on our show, and we were talking about the sort of rise in different portrayals of Asian Americans in comedy and getting to this place where they don't have to constantly respond to the typical tired racial stereotypes in their work, which I think is refreshing. And we were talking like about the Netflix special Always Be My Maybe, for example, and beyond. Is that becoming a reality for Middle Eastern and North African American comedians right now?
Yeah, pretty soon. Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, we did on my, I talk about it in my stand-up, but in my show, there is one episode that talks about terrorism, and it's from the perspective of a child, you know, so we see a kid in middle school, you know, during 9/11, and then the rest of the series doesn't talk about it. And I think we have one small conversation about Trump when I go to Cairo with my family members who, they're actually pro-Trump. So I don't need to talk about those things to make a show. You know, I don't need to talk about these kind of tired tropes. Most of the real estate of my show is really dedicated to watching someone be introspective and kind of figure out what their code is on a moral level, which there's not really anything that's more universal than that. On top of it, we put, you know, the specifics of being Muslim and the language and kind of that experience. But even in that, there's some expository stuff that I have to go through, you know, that I have to start getting through. But, you know, hopefully as I make more seasons of my show, but hopefully as there are other shows that revolve around other Muslim experiences, we can just be weird. You know, we don't need to do the work of re-educating. We don't need to do the work of reframing. I have a little bit of work to do on that level. You know, when we tested the pilot for my show, because it opened in a mosque, test audiences thought it was Homeland, like in the same genre as Homeland.
Wow.
And they didn't realize it was a comedy until 10 minutes in when I was on a date with a girl named Chloe. And then they were like, oh, maybe it's funny. And so there's that work. And so I'm, you know, not ignorant to the fact that we're doing some reframing on a level. But I don't think that's going to be our work for too long.
Rami Youssef's stand-up special Feelings is out this Saturday on HBO. Rami, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.